BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening! Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of BDNG Meets podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG, and today I have the great pleasure of introducing Queensang Dolmer, who is a clinical nurse specialist in Homerton Hospital in Hackney. She's been in dermatology for 8 years, and what we want to do with this podcast is basically go through the role of the clinical nurse specialist, what Queensang has been developing, her journey through dermatology, and how she has established her role. So it really is focused on the clinical nurse specialist role. So welcome, Queensang. It's really good to have you here today. And could you briefly introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Hello, everybody. My name is Queensang. I am a clinical nurse specialist currently working in Homerton Hospital, and I'm lead for medical dermatology in our department. I trained myself background-wise in critical care, emergency care, and after a few years of being in there, I initially joined Guy's and St. Thomas's, where it just opened the whole world of dermatology, and since then I've been really passionate and contributed to dermatology, and also really enjoy changing or transforming patients' lives and helping them achieve a clear skin. So I've been doing clinical nurse specialist for the last 4 years, so I absolutely enjoy medical derm as well as other various aspects of dermatology that now exist. So happy to talk about my journey and also lots of other things that you can come into dermatology, especially like when I was in the nursing, the dermatology occupies a very small room at the end of corridor, and it is like even in the chapters it's thinnest in the textbook, but now like it's so massive, you know, there are so many roles you can play, there are so many different diagnoses, and it is so wise, it's so big that you can do anything, learn anything, and enjoy.
It's really great to hear the, you know, the passion and the, you know, I know how driven you are as well in the specialty of dermatology. So it's really great to listen to that enthusiasm in the role. And it is difficult for nurses, isn't it, to come across dermatology, because we know that it's not really implemented in our training. And I think, you know, throughout our training, you may get a placement, you may not get a placement in dermatology. So, I mean, I personally didn't know what dermatology was all about, but I think you've explained there, you know, how there's all this different specialities within dermatology that we can practice, or we can develop, or we can become very specialised in. And the fact is, we can look after babes in arms up to elderly, you know, we've got that whole gap of the lifespan as well, which is really interesting. So great to hear your background, and then you came into dermatology, obviously Guy's and St. Thomas's, great experience in there, and you obviously got the, you know, the bug really for dermatology when you were there. And you mentioned there that you were really specialized in medical derm, so inflammatory skin conditions, psoriasis, eczema, and how you like the reward in a way, isn't it, to be able to clear the skin and look after your patients. So can you just explain to our listeners how you became a clinical nurse specialist, how you started in dermatology, and how you progressed?
So I just found out accidentally, you know, dermatology, because there is no recruitment going on. There's no advertisement. So I accidentally found through one of my colleagues there's a vacancy in dermatology. And initially when I joined Guy's and St. Thomas's, it is a world-class benchmark institution, one of the biggest in Europe. And there are always grand rounds going on, case studies going on. It's the, epitome of everywhere. Every research is happening. And I'm very academic as well as clinical, based. So I'm interested in learning everything. So we had some sort of this rotation happening, like we are stations in particular area for a few months. So I was initially in the phototherapy unit. So we learned a whole range of different types of phototherapy that can treat lots of different skin conditions. And then we worked in a contact dermatitis, which is another huge world of dermatitis, allergic dermatitis, contact dermatitis. And there are various kinds of allergens that we apply to rule out things which apply for any other occupational dermatitis as well. So it is us another huge one. Then we have rare skin disease. So we've been circulating in all the different areas of departments. And what I really liked about it's the psoriasis and autoinflammatory conditions is that it's so chronic, it's so debilitating. And we always think it's just skin is just a part, just out external part, but how deep it affects a patient is immense, because some patients suffers for like years and years before they reach to like specialist team to actually start on secondary care treatments or immunosuppression, biologics, things like that. So the moment we start on something that is secondary line, they receive huge change in the skin, and they are able to kind of live their life properly. Like they can do the work, they can participate, they have proper relationships. So it's like a eye opener at some time, and then the transformation and the change that you bring is life changing basically for them. So I was really interested in that area. So I started taking part in some of the research that's taking place there. And then I've moved to work in a private dermatology for a couple of years. It's mainly surgical based. So during that time, I had the last contact with medical dermatology, means the inflammatory skin condition. But in the private also, it's more to deal with cancer and also more surgeries. And it's so it the variety but increases. So it can be there's a quite a kind of overlap between aesthetics and medical derm, cancer. It's just kind of all together. I did really enjoyed it. It's nice, but I still wanted to do more clinical work in terms of doing a nurse-led clinic. So in the private, it is mostly led by consultants. So nurses always work in the background, but it's more consultant doctors-led clinics. And I also wanted to do more research and do more clinical work and progress also in world of dermatology, where I can independently do clinics for patients. So I moved back to NHS, and then initially I started looking after patients who are already on systemic treatments, and I was following them up with the blood monitorings, any problems that they're having, and also helping consultant with initiating some of them on biologics. So gradually I've developed more skills into that, and at the same time I managed to do a few of the modules like skin biopsy, prescribing independently. So that is a huge thing, because you can independently prescribe. That saves a lot of time for consultants, and you can also start treatments faster for patients, because usually if you see a patient, if you think somebody needs this medication, that medication, you have to wait for consultant to sign the prescription, so it delays treatments for patients. So since I've completed my prescribing, it really helped patients to kind of initiate their treatments a lot quicker. And then they are now I can start systemics and biologics in the nurse-led clinics. So at the moment I do clinics for the therapy full course, and systemic second line treatments like methotrexate, cyclosporine, and biologics treatment. So also our area is like very the demographic is quite young generation here, so we have a lot of patients with acne. So I do see a lot of acne patients, and We do a mega clinic in this area, so also see 2 week cancer patients. So if they need any that needs a quick surgery or like a one stop shop, so like we do we see and treat kind of. So yeah, so I've in between doing clinics and studying, I also participate in like few trials going around. And I've just said before, I'm very like keen on academics and teaching. So I do plan to kind of organize a, like a teaching sessions for juniors or coaching or mentoring them. We have few juniors here. We are not a big department as compared to other hospitals in London. So our department's kind of expanding a lot, and we have a huge number of patients, and the severity of conditions kind of every year is that. The complexity of patients are growing, so we are expanding, and hopefully we can get our own department one day. So that's what we're pushing for, and yeah. So I think in the next few kind of years to come, I think we'll have our proper department, then we can provide a coordinated care for patients with quicker services. So at the moment we see and we because we are not together, so sometimes if there's a delay in starting treatments, if there's something complex, we don't get that immediate feedback, so it kind of delays. But so as compared to before, I think it's like rapidly changing, and with the new innovations in treatments, now we have AI roles, and we have ever increasing number of advanced therapies. So like previously people have lots of creams, lots of treatments that can kind of cause a lot of difficulties in patients. But now we have treatments that can actually clear skin completely. So like now that is something that patients can aim for. Before we don't have that. And there was a time we have intensive treatment in the guys where like whole takes whole day for treatment to take place, no washing, having bath, then coulter, and now we have this advanced amazing treatments which are like life-changing really, and it's very fulfilling, and also I feel very grateful that I've got this opportunity to participate in patients life and be a part of it, and I feel very grateful that a lot of patients trust me in my capabilities, my skills, and they always call me doctor. I said, I'm not doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm not doctor. So, and I think CNS play a huge role because consultation, they have very short duration, 20 minutes or 15 minutes. In that duration, they can't take a history, assess the skin, explain about everything, then do the screenings. It's just impossible. So, we try to do part of that role to explain the patient. Sometimes patient open up more because I have like a longer duration of a consultation. So patients, to express something that's very emotional draining, I think they need to gradually open up. It can't be done in a rushed state. So sometimes patients just come and then they start kind of crying, immediately. So it's just like that kind of situation that we can't rush out, so we take time and we try to book them more frequently to help them to understand the how treatments work, how conditions work, what are all this related. So the skin is all related with your mind, your psyche, and all the other inflammatory conditions. So now I say that it's just not involved with skin only. It's the inflammatory markers, just they are all in your heart, your lungs. And there are lots of studies now that reveal the connection between HPA axis, so it's all related. So try to explain those to patients. I think they play a huge role, and a lot of miscommunication happened because of gaps in communication. So, for example, for the topical steroid withdrawals, take for example, so patients when they got the first tube of steroids, I don't think they didn't get the right information about how to apply, where to apply, how much to apply, and when to stop, So, and then I see patients who have used steroid in the wrong way, and they get these reactions, and then, and they have like, they belong to certain groups, they have fixated minds. So sometimes they feel that it's not their fault, it's is the gap in communication. And there are lots of information in social media. Some are correct to some extent, some are not correct. So I think we need to kind of be upfront, try to inform them beforehand, just before they get the first tube of steroids. And similar with any other drug treatments, because if they get the right information, they know what to do. So we kind of, help misinformation between the patients and the clinicians, and in that way, we can help them in a better way.
Yeah, it sounds like, you're so you really want to look after your patients, your holistic care, and I think that's really important. And it sounds like as you've developed, through your clinical nurse specialist, you've got the background, you have done other aspects of nursing as well, which I think can really help with dermatology, but also, you've gone through the different specialties. You've mentioned quite a few different specialties there, and I think, yeah, you may go in one direction, but it's also good to have a good overview of different specialties. You've mentioned doing the phototherapy and obviously then progressing on to doing autonomous clinics and education and some of your academia as well. So we know that we've got to work within this four pillars, and I think it's really important to start this grounding with the four pillars right at the beginning. So it's not even just the advanced nurses, and band six and sevens that are doing the four pillars. We need to start right at the beginning and incorporate, the four pillars within the CNS role, definitely. So you mentioned that about your education. So when taking you right back to the beginning, when you first started in dermatology, how did you learn? How did you progress? What education did you seek out to, to progress yourself on to becoming a more specialized nurse?
So when I was at Guy's, I had such a lovely colleagues. So I've tried to absorb so much information from them, and we had like every week grand rounds. We have case presentations. It is such a vibrant environment, very 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 like information driven and research driven and evidence based driven. So the first thing I've done was dermatology care course with the St. John's Derm Academy. That was the first part I've learned. And then continuing from there, I started investigating more about dermatology, what are the courses available. So I started doing mentorship courses so that I can kind of coach and mentor juniors. And then along the same time, we have few research going on. So I started getting my GCP certificates ready, consenting, so that I'll be more proficient in these aspects. And then I started getting to know about BDNG and other conferences. So we started attending conferences and doing conferences. We can network with a lot of other clinicians. So we have teaching sessions. Other courses that are offered in the short courses that are offered in the department. So I started doing all that, and eventually I signed up to MSc in dermatology. I previously done MSc in public health and nutrition, so I was kind of able to kind of combine and connect all this together. And throughout my career, I was always kind of a little bit driven to learn more all the time. So I think that kind of mentality helps.
Yeah,
So try to
definitely.
learn from people, learn from your colleagues, and since then, I've continued to study and attend wherever the meetings are, wherever the conferences are. And you can even just to listen to one case study, you can learn a lot, because when you see your patient, you can see exactly similar kind of pathways some patients have gone through. And these kind of learnings, always keeping open-minded, networking with others, and self-learning as well is really important, like doing your own kind of research. When I was at in phototherapy unit at Guy's, I started kind of my own sort of research. Like I was trying to collect like so certain number of patients, obviously we do a lot of audits, But I started doing collecting information about, like, for example, for vitiligo, whether UVB is better than the PUVA or the gel PUVA or the light therapy itself. So just doing yourself, getting interested all the time, that always helps. So far, I've completed like 3 4 modules already in the part of MSc dermatology, and they've all been really, really engaging, really, really kind of helps you to do more for your patient. The latest one I've done was mind and skin, and it really helped me to understand the role of habit reversal therapy. And when we actually apply it on your patients, you can tell them in a way that you don't know before how to explain to them, and how the itching can be the real cause of you not like circle, causing like eczema flare, then being in the circle of flares and then getting better than flares. So trying to get that scratching down, so habit reversal plays so important role. And then also part of psychodermatology itself, it was kind of eye-opener. So far I really enjoyed being part of the group and being part of the whole dermatology world.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a small world, really. Everybody knows each other, definitely. And I think you're talking some really important points here. And I think to our listeners as well, if you're starting off on the dermatology journey, I think it's really important, to do some, to go through the motions. It's buddying up with other people. It's having good mentors. It's, getting the experience, but also reaching out to do courses. You mentioned St. John's there, the BDNG. You can start with these courses and progress through, and then if you to do the academia ones as well at the universities. And I think open your mind a bit, like you say, about the mind and skin, the psychodermatology. You want to look after your patients holistically, and this is how we learn, and it's really important. And also, you are progressing as you go through your career. You mentioned there as well that you'd completed your prescribing, and that does give the autonomy, doesn't it, within your clinics to be able to really lead those clinics. Did you feel that when you became, a prescriber? Were you able to take a wee bit more ownership of your clinics?
Yes, it's a transformational, to be honest. So as I've mentioned before, if I think if somebody needs a treatment, for example, for Dermavate or fexofenadine for severe itch, I have to wait for consultant to sign. Then they have to kind of go into the system, look up for patients' records, and then they have to check. So it's kind of delays, first of all, and second of all, they also waste the consultant's time. They need to check again. And for myself as well, I can't continue or move on with the next patient because it's just we get go ahead to go back to patient. So once I completed the prescribing, it just really speed up everything. Initially I was my core skills was including scope of competencies for the few drugs, but then you can add it on everything gradually. So you can add on your skills, and then we also have our internal trust and like non-medical prescribing group, and we discuss with each other any issues that you have. And it really helped me to kind of everybody really, patients, my colleagues and myself, to prescribe if they need anything. And then also for follow-up patients who are on systemics, you can review them. You can see if they have any side effects. You can adjust the dosing and then re-prescribe whatever they need. And now moving forward to nurse-led biologics clinic, I do screening and going through initiation, explaining patients, demonstrating how to do things. So, and the consultants have also a lot of kind of trust in me that I'm going to do correctly. So they are often happy for me to just sign before. I always think that, oh, this patient needs a particular biologic, and I sent them to see consultant for their approval, sort of thing. But now they'll be like, "Oh, just do yourself everything." So they have that confidence in me to do that, and patients themselves as well. They I give them all the choices. Like, these are the choices, you can make a decision. So nowadays, patients have all the information available in the net, so they can read, they can make their own informed choices. And here, like, patients will be like, oh, whatever you think is best. So they give that, decision on you. And we look at all the patient cases and see what best treatment for them according to their comorbidities, their social lives and their occupation, things like that, and what's convenient for them. So I think it really changed the way you do clinics, and it gave you more independence. I think it's as a CNS, I think one of the most important thing is the prescribing course that helps you to get that kind of, it's like your own weapon, or you don't get it just to get on with patients. It really helped everybody.
Yeah, I think it's good you're so positive about prescribing, because we know, it's not the easiest of courses to do. And I think some people are a bit apprehensive about doing prescribing, but I think the feeling once you've done it, and to be able to have that independence, and also, I think nurses are thorough. They have that sort of safeguarding instinct, and they, if you are prescribing, you tend to, look at the evidence, like you say, empower the patient as well to work in that partnership. If there is a possibility of a choice as well, it's good to provide the evidence to that patient, and discuss the possibilities of them, empowering them, and it's not just us telling them what to take. So I think you've made some really good points there, definitely. And it is really refreshing as well to say how much you enjoyed the learning, which will inspire our listeners definitely today. So we've gone through, quite a few different aspects there of your learning journey in dermatology, and we know about the four pillars. So you mentioned there with the research, and I think it's really important that nurses from the beginning, like you mentioned, complete your good clinical practice, and become involved in research. Doesn't have to be your own nurse-led research. It can be, being part of possibly even the Bad Beer Register or something, that's going on within your department. Leadership as well. I mean, you're leading your own clinics, but also your leadership there with your role educating others. Become a mentor. Do the aspects of that sort of leadership that you've mentioned there. And education, you've definitely progressed there with your education. You've mentioned a few different courses there, and how much learning, and it's improved your nursing as well, which is really refreshing. And obviously clinical, you've gone through, the different aspects of dermatology and that learning process as well. So I think the main sort of key points is for our listeners as a CNS is to go through the four pillars. I think you're really refreshing as well, the way you speak about dermatology and how dynamic you are. I think that's really positive, and it's sometimes, like you say, you mentioned networking there, but it is sometimes thinking out the box, isn't it? It's doing these extra little bits that, can make you a better nurse, but also you can get inspiration from others. You mentioned there are a couple of things that you've done, about doing your own research, and I know you're very active on LinkedIn. I know that's how we connected as well. Would you give any sort of tips to our listeners today of how to think a bit more about your progression, or how to think about becoming, a clinical nurse specialist? Is there any sort of key points you'd like to express?
I think if you are interested, I think it is so important to verbalize it. So if you see in your clinics, if you wanted to develop as a clinical nurse specialist, to speak to your senior nurses, speak to your sisters, and try to see who is in your hospital dermatology department's lead. Try to connect to them and try to show your interest, because if you don't verbalize your interest, nobody's gonna, guess it. So I think it's really important to showing that interest, enthusiasm from the beginning, and then also talking to people, networking, because often we always email each other and we don't see much of each other, but trying to go to see the person, where the department is, who is the lead, who is the people working in them, and try to contribute to them. Like, can I do anything? Because when I was at Guy's, I used to email Dr. Ferguson and anybody who is involved with the research. I said, I want to be part of this research. I want to help you in this, anything that I can do. So I think it's showing interest is really important, and being inquisitive about things. Because when you work in one department, you are so concentrated, overwhelmed by your own workload. You don't really kind of see things surrounding you. So trying to be very curious and ask questions, I think, is important to that, and that will lead to connections, that will lead to opportunities, and developing. It's I think it's people say, I want to become CNS or leaders, and I don't think you become like that. You just develop gradually, and you take more and more responsibility gradually, and then you will then develop that confidence to do things. Because we don't start prescribing from beginning. There's no Bible to, this is your Bible to for CNS. You look at different books. I used to read all the consultants' textbook for any conditions, and they're like, it's too high for you. But you start reading them, you start learning, and you start sharing information with them, and they actually like give credits, and then they feel more confident in your decisions. I used to refer all my patients to whatever specialty they need. I don't wait for consultant to do it. So if you have capability, if you know how to do things, then you start doing it, so that people will see you, notice you, and then you gradually develop that kind of confidence and skills, and gradually that you can contribute to patient as well. So I think it's not one kind of step. It's just combination of everything, and being very open-minded is very important to learn and to grow.
Absolutely, and it is growth. It is development, isn't it? And it is. You mentioned gradual there as well. It's a gradual process. It's that learning journey that it's really important for nurses, and to take your time in a way to find that niche that you really want to develop in, and then the courses come on board, and we've got the BDNG role descriptors as well, which are really useful for nurses to have that guidance, and also the role descriptors to provide to the management as well for guidance. So you've made some really, really good important points, to become a CNS and how to develop in dermatology. I love the fact that you're just so driven and so dynamic and so passionate about the dermatology world. And I think, like you say, networking is a great opportunity, and email, and you mentioned email in there as well. And I think we've all emailed somebody to say, oh, have you got a pathway, or have you got blood monitoring for methotrexate, or we don't have to create the wheel all the time. We can reach out to different hospitals and develop our own sort of protocol guidance on based on these as well. So it's always good to have that networking, definitely. So I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to you today for sharing your journey and for inspiring our listeners today to go down the route of a CNS in dermatology. You really have ticked all the boxes with the four pillars. So amazing work you've done. I know you are very proactive, and our listeners as well can definitely reach out to you. Very, very well known on LinkedIn as well. So post some amazing stuff there. So thank you so much for doing this podcast today. We really appreciate it, and good luck with all your future career, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you at the next BDNG conference.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here. And I also wanted to mention that the NHS, the leadership program, also has a huge range of leadership programs. That I'm also currently doing the Mary Seacole leadership program. It has immense, immense education knowledge that you don't find anywhere, like how to deal with the conflicts, how to deal with the problems that occur. You deal with lots of things. So it teaches you about political intelligence, political awareness in your organization, how to develop yourself as a resilient, emotional, the intelligence. So it's just really good program. So check it out if you are thinking of developing into leaders position.
That's a great point, Gusang. Thank you so much for that. It is a fantastic course. And like you say, some of the resilience techniques, all these, you know, important aspects of nursing that we also need to develop as well. So I think to have a really solid leadership course is fantastic. So thank you for that point. Really appreciate that. So thank you again. And we shall hopefully see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you so much. See you at the BDNG. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.